Today's gospel feels like a bit of a reset, or at least that it's intended to be. For several weeks now, we've traveled with Jesus from place to place as he ping-pongs back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, from this place to that. Last week, we read about what happened to John the Baptist after his arrest. And today, we learn that the disciples have also apparently been out on their own parallel side quests teaching and preaching when Jesus calls them back together. And Jesus invites them to come away to a deserted place, which is apparently also pretty accurately translated as a desolate place. And we initially think, the disciples initially think, that this is an opportunity for their rest and renewal. But this does not end up being a retreat for the disciples. And really, Mark's gospel here, Mark 6, is really a reset of the whole gospel. It's a sort of replay of Mark 1 in some parts. Mark's gospel, as you no doubt recall, begins with John the Baptizer out there in the wilderness in a desolate place, preaching and baptizing. He baptizes Jesus, who is then immediately, the text says, sent out into the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days. John is arrested, and Jesus comes into Galilee to call the disciples together. And he comes preaching. The time is fulfilled, he says, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Or in another translation that you've heard me use before that I like better, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Change your hearts and minds and believe in the good news. Now, I've been reading this gospel for really most of my life, but a few years ago, I was doing a Bible study and found myself stuck on that wording at the beginning of Mark. The idea that the kingdom has come near. And I said to myself, is near good enough? First of all, like a lot of overachievers out there, I was raised on the principle that almost doesn't count. An A minus is not an A. And you know, when I got in my car this morning, I didn't say, I'm gonna go into LaGrange, like somewhere south of the tracks and west of downtown, and we'll just yell the collect of the day and hope enough people show up. No, right? I put a location into my GPS, or I used to, now I know my way here. That's, however, pretty much what happens here for Jesus. He doesn't even start yelling the collect of the day. He just starts being himself. And people just come through in droves. Thousands of unwashed peasants, just this mass of humanity and human need. People begging to be healed, to have their loved ones healed. Just begging to be somewhere near to him, to touch even the fringe of his cloak, the text says. They do this in the wild hope that it might change something, that it might change everything. And really, it does. See, in Mark 1, Jesus tells everyone that the kingdom of God has come near. And now he's going to show them what it looks like. A few years ago, I heard a talk with the speaker called this idea of proximate living. It's a speech by Jenna Lee Nardella, whose name I hope I'm not butchering, but a woman who runs a small nonprofit that works on ending the HIV/AIDS epidemic and bringing clean water to Africa. Totally not a goal that she is going to accomplish in her lifetime. And in this talk, she said that she struggles to stay engaged sometimes when she thinks about how endless, how seemingly hopeless these issues are. But then she remembers that one of her mentors told her that the world may be a difficult place to live, it may be full of suffering, but it is the only place that we've got. And he shared with her this idea of proximate living. He said, you see, we'll never get to perfect justice in our lifetime. Really, short of the second coming that's going to reset everything for us, we're just not getting there. But it does remain in our power to do simple, small acts of justice and moving one step closer to God's justice. And we may never get to perfect love. I know I am still working on that one for sure. But we can show mercy to those around us. And a small act of mercy shown to someone somewhere, that's a step closer. One act, one simple thing, can be a step that brings justice, that brings love, that brings the kingdom of heaven just one little step closer. Just makes it a little bit more near. And that's why, even when it seems like he should be doing something else, something kind of bigger, Jesus remains focused on preaching, teaching, feeding, saving, and healing. One person at a time. Ultimately, some of that stuff happens in the part of Mark 6 that we did not read today. This is a real butcher job with the lectionary. Next week, we'll read about the feeding of thousands, but we'll read it from the Gospel of John for whatever reason. But again, Mark 1, Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven has come near. And in Mark 6, he shows us what that looks like. It means preaching and teaching the gospel. It means feeding the thousands. It means saving the disciples from one hopeless situation after another. And it means healing all those who come to him for help. And listen, you will always have the choice to disengage. You will always have the choice to stay home and do nothing. Sometimes that sounds really great to me. Because again, the fact that the kingdom is near, sometimes we can like almost taste it, but it's not here, not yet. It breaks my heart some days. But on my better days, I remember that near is better than far. I remember that a foretaste of heaven can whet the appetite for more. And I remember that that appetite is what we call in the church a call to do justice and love mercy, the call to witness to Jesus, still preaching, feeding, saving, and healing. That's the call to proximate living that Jenna Lee talked about. And that call is really at the hope, or sorry, that call is the hope that is at the heart of our faith. This is the call that Jesus came up out of Galilee preaching. The kingdom is near, so change your hearts and minds. Choose even when you are tired, even when the task seems hopeless and you realize it is beyond all human reach. Choose to continue to take that small step. Take what one step nearer. Draw near to Jesus and to others. Because here's the thing about the kingdom of heaven being near. Jesus is not inviting us to a location. The kingdom of heaven is not something you can punch into Google Maps, sadly. The kingdom of heaven has come near in the same way that you might say you feel close to someone. Jesus isn't inviting us to a location, but into a relationship. Proximate living is relationship, intimacy, and nearness, trust with God and with one another. The text from Mark today says Jesus feels compassion. And in Greek, this word is related to my favorite Greek word of all time, the splachna, the guts, the visceral. Our English word compassion is much more clean sounding, but it comes from the Latin to suffer with. It reveals the truth, once again, that in Jesus, God chose to live among us, to journey with us, to fully participate in human life. Jesus has chosen to live in close proximity to us. So close that he can take on human suffering and really get it, really be moved by it. It's that solidarity, that suffering with, that gut wrench in his splachna. It makes it possible for Jesus to put aside whatever frustration he might experience and to understand what the crowds are aching for, which is that closeness, that nearness. And again, this happens a lot in Mark, it's the crowds who really get it. And the disciples who are a little more clueless. The crowds get it, right? They get that getting proximate to Jesus could really change something, could even change everything. Because when they heard the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, they understood that it meant that Jesus had come near to them. And in it, they heard that invitation that God whispers to all of us. Come here. Come close. Come be near me. That's God's desire for all of us, the desire for the closeness of an intimate friendship. And I do know, right, that it's not always easy to feel close to God, to Jesus, or to the Spirit. When you struggle with that, I want you to remember our other reading today from the Apostle Paul, someone who was once more arguably alienated from Jesus than any of us. As Paul writes in Ephesians, Jesus came preaching, came proclaiming peace, both to those who are near and to those who are far off. There are no strangers or aliens in God's eyes, only members of one household, citizens of one country, a motley crowd that God will build up into a holy temple that is a place for God to dwell. Even when we do not feel near to God, even when the kingdom of heaven feels very far off indeed, even when you feel stuck in your own desolate place, God's goodness still follows us. Just like those crowds pursued Jesus. For the truth is that none of us, however far we have strayed, none of us are beyond the jurisdiction of God's mercy. None of us are outside the reach of God's love. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And it turns out that near is actually more than good enough. So change your hearts, change your minds, and believe in this good news. Amen.